Hey, everybody. Thanks for the Charlie Kirk Show. Caroline Glick joins the program. We talk about the latest out of Israel and how to combat the anti-Israel lies that are being spread by the media. And then Coach Tuberville joins us. He calls the Democrats a satanic cult. You're going to love this conversation. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Joining us now is one of my favorite fighters in the U.S. Senate, Coach Tommy Tuberville. Coach, welcome back to the program.
Charlie, how you doing? It's been a great weekend, and now we're back to the fight up here in D.C., And it's going to be an interesting week.
Yeah, walk us through it. Tell us why it's going to be interesting. I passively follow the D.C. drama. It's almost too much to handle. So tell us about what's happening in D.C. What's on the docket?
Well, this week it's the budget. Of course, we're still working on last year's budget. They don't do anything in regular order here, Charlie. Chuck Schumer and even some of the Republicans just love these omnibus and these minibuses where they can just pour all the pork in there they possibly can get. And they don't understand is we're $35 trillion in debt, and we continue to, put money in a situation that we can't fund. And of course, a lot of the money they'll find in this budget, they're going to find money for Ukraine. They're going to find money to do everything they possibly can to continue to push this wokeism across the country. And they do not do anything for the American people. And the one thing that just continues to upset me is, why would we ever vote for a dime until we close the dang border? I mean, it is a necessity that we do something about that border in the future. And we can't wait 8 more months.
Yeah. And so then can you kind of go through some of the specifics that Senator Mike Lee says, the firm, meaning Schumer and McConnell, will soon release a huge spending bill to keep the government funded past Friday. It'll be full of corrupting earmarks. It won't enforce Biden to secure the border. I have to ask, Coach, what Senate Republican in their right mind would vote for this thing?
I don't know. I really don't. There's one group, our appropriation group. They put a lot of time and effort into this. But at the end of the day, we always give in to everything that they want and not what we want. There's no agreements. There's nothing for the American citizens. There's nothing for the American taxpayers. Most everything in this budget either has to do with people that don't want to work, giveaways. Now we need to help the elderly, our veterans, the mentally ill. We need to help those type of people. But there's a lot of people, millions of people, got to get their butt off the couch and go back to work. And we're funding all that. But at the end of the day, it's sending money to the UN. It's sending money to all these NGOs that are funneling money to these migrants that are coming up the border. There's a lot of things that we could put in there in terms of keeping money from going out of the country to all this climate hoax that they're pushing on us. But they keep telling us, we need $60 billion for Ukraine. They're not going to get $60 billion in this one, but they're going to get hundreds of millions. They always find money from somewhere. I don't know where they find it. There's no accountability to the American taxpayer up here for the money they send.
And Coach, every 100 days, we are adding $1 trillion to our national debt. Every 100 days. And God bless you for your focus on that. But I think it's immoral that the vast majority of D.C. senators in both political parties kind of just shrugged their shoulders, trillion here, trillion there. no big deal. You got elected on fiscal discipline. You're doing your best to fulfill that. I just wish that senators had concern. And I don't want to overly speculate, but I don't understand how a senator can be loyal to this country and love this country and not take the mounting national debt seriously. I don't understand it.
The one thing that I've recognized, and you know I'm not a politician. I was a football coach and educator, and coming up 3 years ago, kind of wondering how this place is run. Well, they feel like they've always got to get something done. But the problem is it's always done by the way of spending, of helping people, spending money. We can help a lot of people up here if we'd start cutting the money that's being spent, cutting back on the things that need to be cut back on. We're up above 23 million federal employees now, Charlie. It's a record. 23 million. You can't fire them. One little example is when President Trump came into office, he did a merit-based evaluation of our VA, which is way, it's the biggest healthcare system in the world. We need to help our veterans. And there was a lot of people that weren't doing their job that were actually had a hand in some of our veterans dying and when they went to the hospital. So he did an evaluation of they were 2,000 people that were let go in the VA while he was in office. Joe Biden, since he's come back in, he's reinstated all of those people back into their jobs and give them back pay. I mean, nobody ever pays the price for anything to do with doing their job right up here. It's just a giveaway. But that's how the Democrats want it. They want power. They want votes. They don't care how the country is run, whether it's running aground or not. They know they're going to survive. But it's just not a way to run a business. And this is just a big business is all it is.
Yeah, it's a big business that is currently damaging the country significantly. Senator, can you give us the latest from the Laken-Riley Act? And what about the border have you learned recently that you think our audience should be aware of?
Well, I talked to a guy that has been doing a book down in Central America this past weekend. And he's been down there looking at everything going on. We are funding most of the NGOs in Panama, in all the areas down above Venezuela, in Central America, coming up through Mexico. We're funding most of the people that's coming up. So it doesn't start just when they get to the United States or the border. It all starts in Central America. People fly in there. They get everything that they need to get to the border. A lot are even flown in. My understanding too is there's huge rumors that we're getting ready to start flying people in from the Gaza, Palestinians. And that's not going to work. I mean, that's just another detriment to our society that, number one, they hate us over here. And it's just going to be a detriment to the American taxpayers. And we're already a third world country. Everybody says we're going to turn into a third world country. We're already to that point. If you're talking about our inner cities, we have no control, very little operational Department of Justice, criminal justice system, or law enforcement's fighting, but they're fighting with a short stick. This defund the police has absolutely put us under in our bigger cities. And I call it the double D effect. Divide the country in all areas, all situations, divide our country and have everybody hating and pushing back on each other and then dumbing down our country. They have dumbed our country down so much through the educational system. And that's one of the reasons I ran, because I've seen it up close and personal as a football coach of recruiting kids. This year, our ACT and SAT scores were the lowest ever in 25 to 30 years, lowest ever. And we're going south. It's embarrassing.
Coach, I want to keep you for another segment, but can you just riff on the Ohio Senate primary today? Bernie Moreno is in a tough race. I know you've endorsed Bernie Moreno. Please talks about it for our Ohio listeners and viewers.
Well, we've got to take that seat. Sherrod Brown from Ohio has been up here for a long time. He's a senator, Democrat. He's one of those guys that absolutely hates this country, does everything he can to bring the country to socialism. Bernie is a MAGA guy. He loves President Trump. He loves the country. We've been fighting and campaigning for him for months and months. The primary is today. President Trump went into Ohio this past weekend. The problem is, as we all know, and they did me the same way, the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, the Democrats are going to come at you from all sides. They're going to make things up. They're going to try to convince people with all this negative propaganda that you do not need to be up here representing our country. Sherrod Brown doesn't need to be up here representing our country. He needs to go home, and we need that seat to help J.D. Vance in Ohio and help our country get back on its feet.
Yeah, amen. Do you know if you're getting enough magnesium? Because 4 out of 5 of Americans are not. And that's a big problem because magnesium is involved in more than 300 biochemical reactions in your body. Today, I want to tell you and talk to you about one of the most common signs to look for that can indicate you're magnesium deficient. Listen carefully to the end for this special offer happening, and this could be exactly what you need. Are you irritable or anxious? Do you struggle with insomnia? Do you experience muscle cramps or twitches? Do you have high blood pressure? Are you sometimes constipated? There are dozens of symptoms that magnesium deficiency, so these are just a few common ones. Now, here's what most people don't know. Taking just any magnesium supplement won't solve your problem because most supplements use the cheapest kind that your body can't use or absorb. I am a believer in magnesium. It's helped me with my health and wellness. All Bioptimizer supplements are best in class. If for some reason you feel differently, you can get a full refund. No questions asked. They're so confident that they offer a 365-day money-back guarantee. Go to buyoptimizers.com/Kirk. Just go to buyoptimizers.com/Kirk and you use promo code Kirk10. You can get gifts with purchase and up to 20 travel-size bottles of Magnesium Breakthrough. Act fast. This is a limited-time offer. Go to buyoptimizers.com/Kirk, promo code Kirk10. Coach Tuberville, you said, quote, "We are losing our kids to a satanic cult," which is obviously true. You expand more, please.
Well, I was in Utah campaigning for Trent Staggs, who's going to be a very good senator if we can get him in the seat that Mitt Romney's vacating. I was out there, and they asked me what I thought in the direction this country was going, and I said that. I said, we're fighting a satanic cult. They attack everything that makes us strong. They ruin everything they touch. Liberalism, it can't build. All it does is destroy. We're not just in a policy disagreement up here in the Senate and the House. We're in a war of good versus evil. And I think you see that every day, Charlie. Wokeism, it's more than just a political opinion. You know, it's like a religion for people. It's an obsession. You know, and it's not the religion of any Bible that I've ever read. You know, Churchill said that education is the gospel of envy. And all the left has done since I've been here, everything they've touched, everything they've passed, they've done something to destroy the country that our forefathers built. Not anything that goes by the Constitution. Look at what they've done to our cities. My gosh, they've starting with the education and then the destruction of the people. I mean, they have no chance. Liberalism and socialism in these cities are making it worse and worse. They've ruined education, sex education, our schools, and look what they're doing. Transitioning young kids before they even reach teenage years. And if that's not a satanic cult, I don't know what is.
It is from the pit of hell to say that a 13-year-old should get on Lupron and have their breasts removed. Last evening, Coach, we had several detransitioners. These are young people that were led into the demonic trans cult, and they now have regret. And, you know, Coach, just really quick, I usually don't look to Europe for guidance, but do you have a reaction on how the NHS and the United Kingdom have now banned puberty blockers for children, and we in America are actually expanding it and calling it healthcare? Do you have any reaction to that?
Yeah, well, finally, they're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, Charlie. You know, what they've did in immigration is what they're doing to us now. That was just an experiment of letting all those immigrants in all the European cities. Now they have no control. They don't assimilate. And the same thing with these puberty blockers. You know, they keep going down this fascist movement. And it's hard to understand. But again, it's all about control. It's all about taking away your personal liberties. And they finally come to a conclusion, hey, we're going down the wrong path here. We need to get this straight. And we're going to have to do the same thing. Again, I don't know if we're too far down the road, Charlie. It scares me. I have a hard time sleeping at night, seeing what goes on up here. And how these Democrats just fall in line with each other. I know some of these Democrats don't believe in all these things, but they vote that way just because they want power, they want senator in front of their name, and they're here just as a picture on the wall. They make no decisions other than getting that that money to campaign and win. It breaks your heart to see what they're doing to the country that our forefathers have built.
It really is sick, Coach, because here they are. They're supposed to, you know, they take an oath to the United States Constitution and loyalty to the country. And you say that they have deeply held beliefs and they vote differently because they want to still be called senator and they want to be treated in some dignified way. So, Coach, I also want to get your reaction to the bloodbath controversy that was at the Bernie Moreno Get Out the Vote rally. How should we think about this, Coach?
Well, there's not many days I don't hear bloodbath up here from both sides. and there's bloodbath is looked at different ways, you know, when you're looking at things that are being torn down. Of course, we've all seen President Trump's speech, and he is exactly right. And I've told even we have five or six car manufacturers in the state of Alabama, and I've gone to each one of them and said, you keep building these EV cars and listening to the federal government, we will have to bail you out. Basically, at the end of the day, it is going to be a bloodbath for our car manufacturers. They're going to have to eat every one of these EV cars, or maybe not all of them. They can import, export some of them. But President Trump is a businessman. He understands this. He understands business. And we cannot keep going down this road of this climate hoax and to put all the movement in one direction when we have to start going back and drilling and pumping oil and gas. You can't run a country without oil and gas. It's impossible. But for some reason, these people are trying to trick people into doing something that's wrong. And that's the reason he used bloodbath, because that's exactly the word should be used, because we are going to take a bath, the federal government, the taxpayers, people that send all their money up here. And then we're going to have to bail these people out again because the federal government's forced them to do something that's wrong.
Coach, keep fighting. Am I allowed to say that fighting, or are they going to say that it's the fighting, you know, as long as I don't say bloodbath, right? Just have a lot of fun this week, Coach. You're doing an excellent job. Thanks for making time. As always, we have your back. God bless, Coach. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. We're all getting the sense that we're being lied to. Well, that's because we are. Suspicious events are unfolding. Even worse, it's hard to believe what anyone has to say about it. And we all know the mainstream media has their own agenda. That's why you need to trust your gut and take action. It's time to prepare. Get started at MyPatriotSupply.com. Load up on 3-month emergency food kits packed with ready hour foods from My Patriot Supply. You will save $200 per kit. These kits provide over 2,000 calories every day. Serving over 3 million families since 2008, My Patriot Supply is equipped to help yours achieve self-reliance. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on as many kits as you need from My Patriot Supply. They ship fast and free and arrive in unmarked boxes. Order by 3 p.m. and your order will ship the same day. Save $200 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. That is MyPatriotSupply.com. They ship fast and free and arrive in unmarked boxes. Order by 3 p.m. today. They're a wonderful, wonderful product, so check it out right now at MyPatriotSupply.com. Joining us now is the terrific Caroline Glick. Caroline, thank you so much for taking the time. Super interested to get an update from you. Senior contributing editor from the Jewish News Syndicate and host of the Caroline Glick Show. Yesterday, I was on campus, Caroline, at San Diego State University, and the number one topic that we discussed was Israel. It is the number one topic, and the amount of anti-Semitism, anti-Israel sentiments on the ground, as you well know, is remarkable. And the misinformation, it's just so hard to deprogram and unpack. But Caroline, give us an update of the latest on the ground of the war that is still unfolding in Gaza.
So really, we've been having major tactical successes in Gaza from the very outset. I mean, we've outperformed anything that any military has ever done. I had Colonel John Spencer from West Point on my podcast last week, and he was explaining to me that quite simply, no military in the world has ever fought an enemy like Hamas. It has the most powerful defensive positions any army has ever had. They have, you know, 400 miles of underground tunnels, and Israel figured out a way to fight in tunnels, something that no army has ever done, and actually turn their tactical advantage against them, because we're, like, our forces are just doing stunning work, and we're doing it with the lowest ratio of militant to civilian casualties in the history of warfare. Right now, it's something like 1-to-1 or 1-to-1.3, which is lower than any army has ever achieved ever. And so that's what's going on the ground. We have one major strategic target we have left to attack, which is the southernmost enclave inside of the Gaza Strip. It's a town called Rafah, and it abuts the border between Gaza and Egypt. So it's a critical target to end Hamas's effective existence as a military because they have the last four out of 24 battalions are holed up in Rafah. And so Israel has been poised to enter Rafah and conquer the city and the international border for many weeks. But we've been stopped and stymied by pressure from the Biden administration, which for some reason, while they say that they share Israel's goal of eliminating Hamas, which obviously we need to do in order to survive after what they did to us on October 7th, and yet they've been undermining our efforts to achieve that goal really from the outset. And now it's sort of come to a denouement over the planned and required operation in Rafah. And so we're sort of at a crisis with the Biden administration over that.
Yeah. And the Biden administration, I mean, Joe Biden recently was getting ice cream and he says, oh, yeah, we're going to have a ceasefire soon. Not to mention you have Chuck Schumer that's calling for regime change for Israel in the midst of a war. And so can you just go into specifics? Because Joe Biden is playing it both ways and he can't have it both ways. He's trying to quell a domestic political problem where a base of the Democrat Party being first and second generation Arab Muslim Americans that are no longer supporting him and they're worried about that. But secondly, Joe Biden is trying to also appease Democrat Jews that are pro-Israel because he still wants them to be engaged and involved in his coalition. So can you just go to specifically, how is the Biden administration undercutting Israel's operation?
So there are a number of things that they're doing. One of them, again, is that both President Biden in a phone conversation with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday and his national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, both insisted that the United States oppose, based on their great military knowledge of the situation, an Israeli ground operation in Rafah. But you can't actually quell Hamas. You can't defeat Hamas without a major conventional operation in Rafah. You can't do it. It's not. We're not in a counter-terror operation. We're in a war. We're in a conventional war against an enemy with extremely powerful defenses. And you can't fight them with commando raids. It doesn't work that way, at least not in the initial phase. You first have to take the territory, and then you can use your commandos and do sort of lower intensity warfare to get the people out of their holes. But first, you have to actually take the territory physically, and that's what has to happen. So they're trying to stymie Israel there. There have been multiplying every day reports that the United States has essentially halted weapons shipments to Israel. And, you know, we started this war deeply dependent on American ammunition, tank shells, artillery shells, aircraft, Air Force ordnance in particular. And the United States has been slow walking the resupply of the Israeli military for several weeks. On the other hand, Israel has massively ramped up domestic production lines as well. But it's always sort of a race against time. Are we going to be able to get the domestic production lines up and running to the extent that we need to in order to continue to fight? I mean, as Prime Minister Netanyahu said yesterday in a speech to APAC leadership that was here visiting, you know, we'll fight with our fingernails if that's all that's left with us, because the fact is that this is a war for Israel's very existence. We saw the stakes on October 7th, and we simply can't allow Hamas to continue to exist. And so, you know, the United States is slowing down weapons shipments or stopping them and threatening to stop them altogether. You get that from the progressive caucus in the Senate, led by Bernie Sanders and Chris Van Hollen and others. And you get it from the pro-Hamas Democrats in the House as well. And it's becoming more and more dangerous as a result. And then there's also the threat that the United States is going to either stand back and allow a ceasefire resolution to go through at the UN Security Council that would require Israel to stop fighting or face international sanction, or that it's going to pass its own resolution in the Security Council that's also going to very harshly constrain Israel's independence of action. So in all of these various things, the Democrats as a party and the Biden administration more generally are undercutting Israel. And then I guess the last thing you alluded to, Senator Schumer's extraordinary, really atrocious statement where he called for the ouster of our democratically elected Prime Minister Netanyahu, something that, you know, that's the kind of thing that know, Biden does when he's talking about Russian President Vladimir Putin and other U.S. Adversaries. I don't think that there's ever been a case where the United States has called for a regime change in an allied democracy. And yet, you know, that kind of effort to destabilize Israel politically also obviously works in favor of Hamas.
And Biden says it was a good speech. Here it is. Play cut 40, please.
A new election is the only way to allow for a healthy and open decision-making process about the future of Israel. People on all sides of this war are turning away from a two-state solution, including Israel's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. I believe in his heart he has his highest priority is the security of Israel. However, I also believe Prime Minister Netanyahu has lost his way.
It's an extraordinary statement from the Senate floor. Joe Biden says that is a good speech. Caroline.
Yeah, you know how for years, really since Obama came into office, but certainly since President Trump entered office in 2017, we've heard a lot of talk in the U.S. media about the so-called civil war within the Democratic Party between moderates and progressives. And unfortunately, it seems that that war ended with Schumer's speech, because he was always considered to be a leader of the moderate branch of the Democratic Party, in particular in relation to Israel. And yet here he was giving arguably the most anti-Israel speech that we've heard in a long time. Certainly there's a lot of competition, I guess, in that field, but a deeply, deeply hostile speech. Because one of the things that was interesting when he talked about a two-state solution, that is the establishment of a Palestinian state in Israel's heartland, you know, after we saw what happened in Gaza, Gaza's been an independent political entity, a mini state since 2005 when Israel left and transferred it lock, stock and barrel to the Palestinians. So Israelis realize that that's what we can look forward to if you get a state. And that's in southern Israel, in an area that's populated, but much more sparsely populated than a Palestinian state in the so-called West Bank in Judea and Samaria, which abuts Jerusalem and Tel Aviv and every major urban center in Israel. So and the Palestinian Authority, which supports what Hamas did, is much better armed than Hamas is. And so, you know, Israelis completely soured as a nation of a Palestinian state on October 7th. And here is Schumer saying that the only people in Israel who oppose it are Prime Minister Netanyahu and members of his coalition. But that's not true. You have upwards of 80% of Israeli Jews who oppose it, and you have upwards of 70% of Israelis, including Israeli Arabs, who oppose it. So, you know, it's a very strange thing where the administration and Schumer both have tried to limit the criticism to Netanyahu personally and pretend that they only oppose him. But any other prime minister who could likely take his place at any time in the foreseeable future would be implementing the exact same policies as Netanyahu, because these are the policies that are required by the demands of the hour, and also because these are the policies that are demanded by a consensus of Israeli public opinion. So, you know, Israel is a democracy and our leaders are accountable to the public. And these are the policies that Netanyahu is advancing, that the Israeli public is demanding that he advance.
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. As you know, Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. After he invented the world's best pillow, he created the famous Giza Dream Sheets. They are the best sheets you'll ever sleep on. The best night's sleep just got even better. For a limited time, you'll get a queen-size set of $59.98, king-size for just $69.98, the lowest prices in history. Mike and the MyPillow employees continue to be canceled by big box stores and attacked by the media. They appreciate all of your great support during these times. I want to thank you by giving you the best specials on all their MyPillow products. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-875-0425. Use promo code Kirk. You get the famous Giza Dream Sheets, queen size for just $59.98 and king size for just $69.98. You also get 60% off the original My Slippers. So call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. So Caroline Glick, I'm thank you for continuing with us. I'm going to do my best to paraphrase just some of the mantra of the activists. Here's one that they would say, Caroline. They say that Israel has killed 30,000 civilians and that it's not a fair fight and that Israel has sophisticated weaponry and Hamas does not. And look at all the civilians that are dead. How would you respond to that?
So a couple of things. One is that the 30,000 number is not correct. It's probably something more along the lines of maybe high 20s, but at least 13,000 of those dead are terrorists. The other thing you have to bear in mind is that all of the casualty data is actually Hamas propaganda, because the often quoted or always quoted Gaza Health Ministry is run by Hamas. So what you're saying is take the terrorists at their word that all of these, that this is the number of people who have been killed, but also that all of them are civilians. That is, Israel hasn't killed any terrorists in Gaza. They're all civilians and they're overwhelmingly women and children. And this is just not true. This is a total lie. We have, again, I think we mentioned in the earlier segment that Israel has the lowest ratio of terrorists to civilians killed in history. It's 1-to-1 or 1-to-1.3 terrorists to civilians. No military in the history of warfare has had a ratio that low. So actually, even by Hamas's own data, which is untrue, you still come to the point where you realize that Israel has gone to greater lengths and been more successful in avoiding civilian deaths than the United States, than any other military in human history. So that's the one thing that you have to understand. And the other thing that you have to understand, wait, you had 2 points there. It was civilian casualties. And what was the other one?
Well, yeah, just the kind of the essence, it's not a fair fight. And I always respond. I laughed. I said, hold on a second. Who declared war on who? And you know what they would say? They'd say, oh, the war's been ongoing. And that, what are you supposed to expect when you blockade a people, which is such a reprehensible a form of argumentation. It justifies the slaughter of what happened on October 7th. But Caroline, there's a lot of that. It was not a minority opinion. It's widespread. They say, how do you respond to Israel's an apartheid state? Nothing you haven't encountered before.
Okay, so I'm just going to give you real quick lightning round on those three questions. So the first one is the unfair fight. So this is not true, because what we have is the Hamas. They didn't commit a terrorist attack on October 7th. They invaded Israel with a division level force of thousands of armed and trained gunmen who had specific targets that they had to reach, seize control over, and then conduct slaughters, rapes, and take hostages. They had that assault on Israel, that invasion force of light infantry and artillery was backed by a simultaneous missile assault on Israel that barraged Israel with 5,000 projectiles in one day. And Israel also suffered a massive cyber attack carried out by Iran against its critical infrastructure on October 7th and first responder units. So this is something that they planned for years. And then they ran back to Israel into the strongest, again, defenses any army has ever had, 400 miles of underground tunnels whose sole purpose is to serve as the military infrastructure of Hamas. That's one. The second one you were talking about was that the war was ongoing on October 7th. Israel has been in a conflict with the Palestinians, to be sure, for over 100 years. But Israel was in a prolonged ceasefire with Hamas-controlled Gaza. Israel was allowing 20,000 Gazans to enter its territory every day to work in Israel. And much of the precise intelligence they had about their targets, down to who lived in what house, who had guns, who served in the army, who had dogs, what the dogs' names were, what the children's names were, what the wife looked like, et cetera, they all received from the people that Israel employed in goodwill to help the Gazan economy. So this was an act of perfidy unmatched in human history. This was a completely unprovoked attack carried out while Israel thought that we had reached a sort of, yes, a permanent or semi-permanent ceasefire. And as to apartheid, You know, Israel is the only country in the Middle East where Arabs have full civil rights. We have Arab Supreme Court justices.
Yes, members
we
of the
have
Knesset.
Arabs and also
yes.
in the Knesset, in all walks of life. So the idea that, so that that's all. Those are the three things.
Thank you. Excellent job, Caroline. Come on soon. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.